All right. Welcome, everyone, to another Sunday evening with Zion's Trumpet, yours truly, Brother Daniel. How's everybody doing this evening out there in Pal Talk Land? Paying attention. Good. Good, good. Paying attention, standing strong in the battle. That's good. I think Mama has something she'd like to share before we begin tonight, so I'm going to open up the mic and give it to her. All right.
Hi, everyone. I just want to say a word to Lisa. We really appreciated the email you sent us, and we appreciated the fact that you're concerned about the barn, and we thank you for that, and we send our love. I just wanted to say that to Lisa. I'd like to share some things that the Lord has been speaking to my heart the last few weeks about the secret dwelling place of the Most High. You know, most Christians feel that the 91st Psalm applies to them and all the promises it contains. I believe they will be very surprised to find out that they are not in that place when it is most needed. A Bible teacher that we knew believed that the 91st Psalm was written especially for those who will be living during the Great Tribulation. And it starts out by saying, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow," or the protection of the Almighty. "A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, and it shall not," the trouble spoken of in the 91st Psalm, "shall not come nigh thee. And with thine eye shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked." And I feel that the secret dwelling place of the Most High is in Zion. I'm going to read one of my favorite scriptures in Psalm 87. "His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God." Now, in John 14:2, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions," and those mansions means dwelling places, "and if it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you." So Jesus said there are many dwelling places in his Father's house, and the psalmist said that he loves the gates of Zion more than all the other dwelling places of Jacob. Praise God. And you know, he loves Zion because Zion, of people that are in Zion, pant after him like a deer pants after the water brook. "I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. And I will say, this man was born in her. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there." This man was born there. If you make it into Zion, he will individually point you out and say, "This man was born in Zion." And you know, I want to tell you about being born in Zion. When you feel a call in your spirit to be a son, not just a bride, but a son, and you have a desire to walk the whole way to the cross, to go on to perfection, as we're admonished in the book of Hebrews, to press into the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, as Paul was doing, and you are willing to forsake all that you are, all that you have, all that you ever will be in this life to fulfill that calling on your life, you have been born in Zion. Don't stop until you've apprehended that thing for which you have been apprehended. You know, we sing a song. It says, "This way to Zion, this way. You listen and you hear." That's how you get to Zion. You listen to what the Holy Spirit is speaking today, and you hear it in the Spirit, and you start obeying it, and you walk in it, and he'll lead you to Zion. Listen. listen and hear. This is the way to Zion. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying today, because the Holy Spirit is calling a people to enter into that secret place of the Most High because of the wrath of God that's soon to be poured out. I want to read Revelation 15:1. It says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." God is going to pour out his wrath. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, "For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." And in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, he says that we are called to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And while the raptured people use these scriptures to prove their belief, these scriptures are true. And at the end of this age, and at the end of the great tribulation period, God will pour out his wrath on the earth. And all the signs point to the fact that we are fast approaching that time. And Jesus said in the scriptures, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." Now, you know, in the days of Noah, God prepared an ark of safety for Noah and his family. But had Noah not obeyed the voice of God and prepared that ark for many years, many, many years, and obeyed God's voice and went in the ark when he told him to, he would not have been protected from the floodwaters. And so today, God has prepared a place of safety for his people, the secret place of the Most High. However, if we are not hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit to prepare ourselves to enter into that place of safety, we will not be protected from God's wrath. God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who closed the mouth of the lions for Daniel, and who caused the three Hebrew men who were thrown in a fiery furnace to escape without being touched by the fire, and who saved Noah and his family in the time of the flood, will keep those who are in the secret place of the Most High from his wrath. And I know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to hearts, calling God's people to a closer relationship with Jesus, to be separated from the world, and not to be entangled with the affairs of this world, as Paul wrote to Timothy. The things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and love. And in Amos, there's a scripture, Amos 3:7, which says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets." In the Old Testament, his servants were the prophets. In the New Testament, we're his servants. And God said he's not going to do nothing unless he reveals to his servants what he's going to do. And he'll let them know if they're listening to the Holy Spirit, if they're obeying the voice of God, if they're willing to leave everything, if they're willing to separate from loved ones, from jobs, from homes, from everything to obey God. There is a secret place. There is a secret place of the Most High. But don't be foolish enough to think you're in it if you're not paying the price to get in it. If you don't know that you know that you know down in your spirit that you're in that secret dwelling place, that you've given all to God, if you don't know that, make sure that you'll hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And Matthew 24 tells about a lot of end time parables and situations. And at the end of Matthew 24, the Bible says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant when his Lord cometh, when he shall find him so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods." This verse of scripture is right after Jesus tells of all the signs of the last days. Just imagine what God has in store for those that are willing to press in to Zion. I ask God to help me express what's on my heart tonight, because I feel something real deep in my heart. I feel a cry going out to God's people to draw close to God. And I'd like to close tonight with the words of a song that we sing, that this is the call in my heart right now. It's called, "He is taking us to a secret place." He is taking us to a secret place. And if you're willing to go there, he'll take you there. He's taking us to a secret place, separated from the rest of the world. He is taking us to a quiet place where no other voices are heard. He is taking us to a peaceful place, and there on bended knees, we will sit at the feet of Jesus and say, "Oh Lord, teach me. Teach me things that have been hidden from the foundation of the earth. Teach me those things that man has longed to see and yet has never seen. Teach me those things that are thy nature. Teach me those things that are thy ways, and draw me, Lord. Draw me close to you." It's just my prayer tonight that if there's a desire in your heart to draw close to God, answer that desire. Answer that desire. Be prepared for what God's going to pour out on the earth. Shalom.
Amen. Thank you, Ma. That was wonderful. Amen. I'll open the mic up for the guys in the room. If anybody has anything to comment or share, go ahead. Looks like John or Jennifer. I think, you had your hand up. You still want to talk? I'll let you have the mic. Go ahead.
Okay, how's that? We're having a little trouble. Okay, good. Okay. Well, hello, everyone. After last Sunday night's chat room and hearing Brother Wilkerson's message about hell, I went before the Lord, and I need iron built into my soul. Thankfully, our God is faithful. This coming Saturday, the 19th, is our daughter's wedding reception, which we will not be attending. It's a matter of honoring the Lord Jesus and his word and his name. There was a chance we were going to close on our house sale sooner than the 21st of May. So in myself, I was hoping that, all right, then we could avoid being around for the reception. Well, the Lord showed me my sin, fear of man. After repenting of this along with the sin of unbelief, I had joy in my spirit to walk in faith and glorify his name when the opportunity presented itself. Confronting darkness and testifying about the Lord Jesus will build iron. Isn't that what I asked for? One can be so blind and deaf. Praise the Lord, that's changing. So 2 days later, I had an opportunity to share with an acquaintance about Israel and the Lord's return with boldness and confidence. I was also able to tell another neighbor I won't be attending the reception. It was the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within me. The good news is part of Jennifer is dying. I was encouraged and blessed to see the Lord working so quickly in starting to replace fear of man to faith in God, plus building some iron in me too. I know it's his will to do this for all of us. Another thing I did this week is I dug out Dan's newsletter from September 2007 on bringing forth iron, and this was extremely helpful to read along with the scriptures. And a few of Dan's quotes were, spiritual iron has to do with righteousness and justice, discipline and rulership. Satan doesn't hate and fear God because of his love. He doesn't hate and fear God because of his gentleness or his kindness or his mercy. Satan hates and fears God because of his spiritual iron. He hates and fears God's iron because it's that iron which will finally cast him into eternal torment, and he knows it. The true image of Christ is the image that is able to manifest both the love and the iron of God. One more quote. It takes iron to live a life of self-denial and self-discipline. It takes iron to war against Satan and sin and self-will until we have achieved complete victory over them. And one last scripture, and I'll be done. Matthew 21:43-44. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. Falling on this rock, Jesus, is not a one-time deal, I believe. This is the way of life for all disciples until he returns. God bless you, and back to you, Dan.
Amen. That's good, Jennifer. Thanks. I think Joey wants to share something next. Hang on, we're going to make a way for Joey here.
Wow, I just want to say something about Mom's message. I was very inspired, and you bore very, very much witness with my spirit, Mom. Thank you so much for that, for sharing all that about hearing God's voice to go on to perfection and come to that place, a secret place in the Most High, because destruction is coming, judgment is coming, divine wrath is coming upon the land because it's wicked. Truly, there is a surge of hatred against the Jews that's really developing into a massive tsunami of a huge spirit of murder. And I just want to thank the Lord tonight for Brother Dan for not pulling any punches in dealing against Satan's filthy manipulations. I am so thankful for God's help and strength so we can continue to properly support Israel defensively but also offensively. Hearing Dan's messages concerning Israel as of late has been personally making me feel more and more of the urgency and need to position ourselves to be able to run closer and closer to the Lord, as he will be the only refuge and safety for his people. Destruction is truly coming soon, and most Christian people are not ready. When Jesus was prophesying about the coming destruction upon the city of Jerusalem in Matthew 24, he was admonishing his faithful ones to flee to the mountains. He gives them conditions of what to do and not to do concerning their household properties and possessions. He warns about having children in such perilous times because of such great tribulation that was coming. In the light of that prophecy of judgment, it was God's perfect will for his disciples in the first century church to flee to a certain place in order to be safe in God's protection. And of course, Mom was talking about that last night, that secret place of the Most High. And now, in our generation, the Holy Spirit has been prophesying faithful servants, especially from about 60-something years ago up to the present day, which the Lord is emphasizing more than ever before about the end times, great tribulation and judgment, not just among those who will never repent in the nation of Israel, but especially the destruction of nations in a global scale, where all of man's methods and means of safety and survival will be absolutely worthless. I believe the Lord is also speaking to all of us in this room that unless we meet God's conditions to hear his voice, we will never come to a place of knowing what to do in order to prepare God's way. There is a difference between human survival in these last days and being spiritually prepared for the coming tribulations and divine wrathful judgments ahead. Sadly, people will not even know when or where to flee for safety because they have not paid the price to position themselves to hear God's voice. Sadly, no matter how many hours, days, weeks, and years of hearing God's prophetic trumpet to prepare by being obedient to the present truth, somehow people will never budge. As Jesus said in Revelation through John's letters, he said to those who has ears to hear, to let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And only those who has ears to hear and obey the present truth of God will have the spiritual strength and the endurance to flee to the mountain of refuge which God has prescribed for them in these last days. Why? Because they have met God's conditions of obedience, separation, denying themselves, taking up their cross, and be willing to get up and go and follow the Lord Jesus wherever he goes. My spirit was jumping the other day when Mom was testifying about how the Lord looks at a person who has a yearning heart to keep going on deeper in God. She was sharing how the Lord sees the desires of our heart shown in our and longings for more of him. Then the Lord opens our eyes. He makes a way. He opens our eyes to the truth and helps us to be able to see which path that will lead us deeper in him and protect us from the path that keeps everybody else stuck in a lower place or in a path of deception. Especially in the midst of great delusion and season in which God actually gives people over into believing a lie in order to judge them. But for those who truly desires to go on higher in God, there has to be a constant love for the truth and yearning to be so close to God and be faithful to obey His will. But in order to obey His will, we have to know what His will is. And in order to know His will, we have to hear His voice. And in order to have ears to hear, we have to be in a position where God can speak to us. Multitudes of Christians are not spiritually hearing God's voice to flee to the mountains. I don't know exactly what it is, but somehow people are becoming more and more deaf, that they will never have any spiritual ears to hear. The vast majority of Christians are too busy with the cares of this life, wrapping themselves up with earthly Adamic clothing, identifying themselves with their carnal past and the customs of this world instead of being clothed with the nature of Jesus Christ. Therefore, they will have natural ears but cannot hear. They will have natural eyes but cannot see. They will never respond to God's prophetic voice to prepare, and when the prophecy of destruction comes, it will then be too late. I pray the Lord would continue to help us to lay our lives down to follow Jesus, God's way, support God's cause concerning His people and beloved land Israel, and be prepared to walk in what God has for those who overcome. So anyway, that's all I got for tonight. God bless you guys.
Good word. Amen. Wow. Got some powerful words here tonight. Okay, anybody else want to share anything here in the room? That was a sobering word Mom had. I hope whoever had ears to hear that is taking heed. Okay. You look at the Old Testament history of Israel, one thing that should or will stand out very clearly is the fact that the biggest problem Israel faced day in and day out was idolatry. They were an idolatrous people. And consequently, the very first commandment God gave Israel at Mount Sinai was, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Exodus 20. But at the very moment God was writing that law on a tablet of stone with His own finger in the presence of Moses up in that mountain, the people of Israel at the base of that mountain, worshiping their newly made image of God, a golden calf, and they said, "This be our God who led us out of Egypt." At the very moment God was putting a law for them saying, "Have no other gods," they're already back in idolatry. So when Moses came down from the mountain, he saw the people were, you know, what they'd done, and his wrath was kindled. He broke the tablets of the law. He had the people who were responsible for making that calf and all the people worshiping it, he had to put to death. And he made the rest of the congregation smash that idol into a golden powder, and he told them to mix that powder with water and drink it. You'd think that after experiencing that kind of punishment, the people of Israel would have learned their lesson, but they didn't. Idolatry plagued that nation from the time they left Egypt until the time they returned from Babylon, from Babylonian captivity. This is what the prophet Amos, this is what he says about the people of Israel. He's prophesying to the northern kingdom before the northern kingdom was taken over by Assyria. And Amos 5:21-27 says this, "I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell your solemn assemblies." Now, can you imagine? How'd you like it if you went to church sometime, walked into church, and you're right in the middle singing praises, and God came down and says, "I hate this song service. I hate your worship." That's what this prophet was saying to the people. It's the same thing, okay? He says, "I hate, I despise your feast days. I will not smell your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard your peace offerings or your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But you have borne the tabernacle of your Molech, and have chewed your images, the star god, which ye have made to yourselves. Therefore I will cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts." Okay, so the Spirit of God speaks to Amos here, and he asked the people a question. He said, "Did you offer your sacrifices in the wilderness to me during the historical 40-year period in the wilderness?" And the Spirit answers the question and says, "No, you weren't offering to me. You were offering sacrifices to devils, to the golden calf, to the host of heaven, to Molech. Okay, therefore, I'm going to punish you by sending you into captivity in a foreign land." What's the connection there? Well, first he's talking about the 40 years in the wilderness. Now he's talking about hundreds and hundreds of years later to the 10 tribes. Well, the connection is he's saying, just as your fathers have done in the wilderness, just so now you're doing in the promised land. You're worshiping other gods. You're not worshiping me. You're not sacrificing to me. You're not singing my songs. your hearts are with the other gods. So it's 740 BC, 100 years later, after Amos's prophecy was fulfilled, the northern kingdom was conquered and the people were carried off as slaves into Assyria. I'd like to put a note in here that kind of came to my mind when Mom was talking and when Joy was talking. You know, Noah built that ark for 120 years. Why? Why take 120 years? Do you think God could have made it a little less? Maybe God was giving people plenty of time to repent. You know, very few times does a prophet come on the scene and prophesy, and then 5 years later the prophecy comes to pass. Usually it's 100 years, 200 years, 50 years, 75. There's a long span between the time a prophecy comes forth and the time the actual fulfillment of that prophecy. Why is that? Why does God prophesy 200, 300, 400 years in advance? Well, it's because he's giving people time to repent. But he's also laying a pattern out for his people who pay attention to the Bible when they read it. There's a pattern there. God's prophecies don't always come to pass right away. So just because somebody prophesied 60 years ago that America's going to be destroyed and it hasn't been destroyed yet, don't get lackadaisical. God prophesies a long time in advance to prove us, to see what we're going to do with those prophecies. Are we going to wait for a while and then after a while say, ah, that's garbage, I'm going to go back to my life? Are we going to be faithful the whole time to the very end and prepare ourselves our whole life if it takes a whole lifetime? So there's a reason God prophesies so far in advance. There's a reason he does things. He doesn't do things for no reason. The reason is to test his people. Are we going to stay true and faithful, whether it takes 10 years, 50 years, 100 years, 200 years? So a long time ago, people started prophesying God's judgment is about to come to this nation. The judgment is going to be poured out 60 years ago, 70 years ago. And just because they haven't been poured out yet doesn't mean it's not going to come. We got to be ready. And especially as the day now is closer than it ever was before. And everybody feels an urgency in their spirit that's coming very soon. But what if you were around 60 years ago when it started? By now, would you still be hot? 60 years later, would you still be waiting? Well, most people wouldn't. They just forget about it, go on in life. That's one of the ways God tests us, to test our stamina, to test our durability. How serious are we? Anyway, so Amos prophesied this prophecy because the 10 northern tribes were following the example of their fathers. They were singing to God, worshiping to God, making sacrifices to God, but in their hearts they were serving other idols. So all their worship and all their deeds and all their works didn't go to their account for worshiping the true God. It went to their account for worshiping the false God. And just as God destroyed the people in the wilderness, so he sent the 10 tribes into Assyria, never to be heard from again.